Welcome to the Victory Orlando podcast. We exist to reach people with the life-giving message of Jesus and to connect them with their purpose. To learn more about us, visit us at victoryorlando.com. Thanks for listening. We pray that you are encouraged and inspired by today's message.
Amen. Amen. Well, I'm excited about this series, Life, Money, and Hope. And I hope that you're not too squirmy because I've said money two times already. But how many of you know that money is good? Okay, I got a few people over here with Pastor Justin. How about on this side? How many know that money is good? All right, all right. Now, if we were out somewhere else at some financial convention, everybody would stand and be like, yes! Like shouting the guy down when getting to church. But it's all right, it's all right, it's good. But I love this time of year. Anybody else with me? By a show of hands, you say, this is my favorite time of the year. There's even a song that maybe is your theme song. It's the most. Okay, I won't. But it's just an awesome time of the year, right? We get some cooler weather. We got some of that 85 going on. Not 95 anymore. Praise the Lord. Come on. That's good. It's still hot, but praise the Lord. It's not as hot as it was. We've got football. Praise the Lord. Basketball is starting up. There's some kind of game on every night. Praise the Lord. All the guys are like, yes. All the ladies are trying to hide the remotes and everything. That's all right. It's a great time of the year. Of course, there's holiday parties. Thank you, Lord, for finger foods and little smokies and meatballs and little cheeses and Christmas cookies. And come on, it's good. It's a good season. And all the parties. We got our, you know, the Victory Turkey Bowl coming up. It's time to play football and get a little dirty. You know, it's time to smoke some turkeys and it's going to smell good everywhere. All the time, we've got the Starbucks red cups, and it's just good. But the best news of all, right, is we get to celebrate Jesus and all that he's done for us. Him coming on a rescue mission for us is good. The world celebrates, and they don't even know, but we know we're celebrating Jesus. It's a good time of the year, and really it's a time of the year where the world even, you know, it's, you know, the giving season, you know, get gifts and all that kind of stuff. It's known as the giving season. And for us, it's a season that, you know, we ramp up something that we really do all year round is, you know, expressing generosity. At Victory, we say it this way. It says we live to give. We express generosity and we do it all year round. But we especially ramp it up at this time of the year. And so we're going to be sharing over the next couple weeks some things that we're going to do as a church that we've been working hard on planning of ways of how we're going to show compassion and how we're going to express our generosity to those in our community and around. And it's just going to be awesome. So we'll have some more of that in the upcoming weeks. But I wanted to just kind of begin kind of talking about this whole idea of life and money and hope, because, you know, in life, there's things that we go through. There's challenges that we face. There's rainy days. There's difficult seasons, right? Anybody relate to that? And sometimes we can start to lose hope a little bit. Maybe you've been in that before where you just kind of feel a little hopeless. And then we start talking about money and you're like, no, I really feel hopeless. Some of us are just like, I just wish there was a way out. And I feel like that's the what God wants to share with us is that there's hope. There's just hope. Some of us have lived so long being hopeless in our life, just accepting whatever life comes our way, even in our finances, you know, and it sounds like, well, I guess this is just all I've got. This is just my lot in life. I guess I'm going to settle right here. Listen, doesn't matter if you walked with the Lord for 50 years or 5 minutes, God has more for you than you're experiencing. God has hope for whatever situation you're right in the middle of, no matter how dark it seems, whatever it is, no matter how big the storm that's looming, doesn't matter if it's financial or health or whatever it is, God has more for you than what you're currently experiencing. There's hope. There's hope for you. And so as we spend these next couple weeks talking about generosity, and we're going to talk about money, and we're going to talk about life and all those things, it's like, that's what my prayer is that you would take from it is that, man, there's hope. It's not the end. We're just getting started. We're just getting started. And I believe that what we are as a church is that we're the most generous church in the entire city of Orlando. Thank you for those two overwhelming amens over there. Got my work cut out this morning. I'm just telling you by faith, and I'm just declaring to you this morning of who we are and who we're going to be. We are the most generous church in Orlando, okay? That's who we're going to be. And, I believe that most of us, like, Like, we're on board with that. Like, yeah, I want to be generous. Most of us would even say, like, I even have that desire. Like, I want to help. I want to do this. I want to do, like, generosity is built into our DNA. It's part of who we are. And most of us want to have that expression, but a lot of us just lack the ability to do it because we're strapped. You know, a lot of us financially, like, we just don't have any wiggle room in there. We just like I just have every dollar, like, as accounted for. I want to be generous, but I'm just stuck here, And so that's would be what I hope through this series, that you begin to realize, like, God has more. God has something for you to experience. There's some freedom that God wants his people to live in financially and not live our lives bound up and strapped because we haven't been able to do anything else financially, right? Right? It's going to take some people with some understanding in these last days. It's going to take some people who can walk in financial freedom, who understand what margin is in their lives, who understand God's greater principles for what we want to do if we want to really be a church of influence. If we really want, and I say church, not as in just our church here, the little local church. We're part of the capital C church. That's the global church. If we want to be the capital C church that brings influence, right? Moses said, God, show me your glory. Show me how wonderful you are. Show me your goodness. And he said, nah, I want to show you my goodness. Nobody got that in this place. Moses said, show me your glory. Give me these moments where I just feel so spiritual and I'm floating on a cloud and I just realize the grandiose wonderness. Like he said, show me that, God. And said, God said, no, I'm going to show you how good I am. I'm going to show you my goodness because you can't even comprehend his glory. Like, you need to understand his goodness, how good he is, how much he loves you, how much he wants to bless you, how he thinks about you all the time. Come on, somebody. His thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Like, if you were to count all the grains in the sand in the sea, like, his thoughts would outnumber those. Like, he wants to show you his goodness. He doesn't want you scraping by. Because if you're just stuck and scraping by and strapped and bound up and in debt and all these things, and he says, hey, I want you to bless this person. You're like, you can't because you got nothing. Some of us have even taken it a step further and we're like, we just think we're just being humble by having less and being poor. Like, that's false humility. And I would say it's even insulting to Jesus to say, well, I'm just going to deal with what I have. I'm just keep my little piece over here, and that's all I'm going to be concerned with. Listen, Jesus died and he suffered not so that you could just scrape by. He died and suffered and paid for your freedom so that you could live a blessed life, so that you could live in freedom, so that you could be the greatest influence to the people around you that don't know about him, that are still bound up with sin, that are still bound up with depression. Like, that's what we're called to do. Come on, somebody. There's hope for us. There's hope for us. I got to get back to my notes. So do we have to really talk about money, Pastor? Well, let me just put it to you this way. We work hard. We plan out our series and our messages. We want to bring the best content that we can to you guys. We want to do all that. But if I was to do that based on how often things are talked about in the Bible, right? So we're going to bring a series, the number of series based on the frequency things are talked about in the Bible. We got to talk about belief. About believing, right? Because it's mentioned in the Bible 272 times. Believing, that's good. We need to have believing. We need to have faith built up. But even more than that, we need to have more messages on prayer because that's mentioned 371 times in the Bible. So we need to spend some more time talking about prayer than we do talking about believing. But even greater than that, we need to talk more about love because that's mentioned 741 times in the Bible. So we need to spend a little bit more time talking about love and God's love and how we receive it and how we show it than we need to talk about prayer. But even greater than that, in fact, five times greater than any other topic in the Bible is this. The word give is mentioned 2,161 times in the Bible. Pastor, do we really have to talk about our money, about giving, about generosity? Well, God thinks it's important. Because it's the number one thing he talked about in the Bible. In fact, if you read the Bible from cover to cover, I just challenge somebody in this place to do, read the Bible in 30 days. There's Bible reading plans on YouVersion. Somebody's going to do it. Like, it's going to blow your mind because the theme from the beginning to the end is giving. The only reason we're here today is because God gave. For God so loved the world that he gave. Come on, y'all are getting it. Something that God wants us to know about. He wants us to understand his thoughts on it and not just rely on the human wisdom that we've accumulated. I want to get the series started in the right way, and I want to share this verse for you as kind of a foundation for this whole thinking. The Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy. It's 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. So if you've got your Bible, you can turn there. If you've got the YouVersion Bible app, open that up to there, and then I can see your face smiling because you got the glow from your phone. It's good. But the Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy, who's left in the city to lead the church. The Apostle Paul was there. He planted and started the church, and then he moved on to another city and did that, and he left Timothy there to pastor the church and lead it. So anytime you read one of Paul's letters in the New Testament and you see it's written to a person, 1 and 2 Timothy, he's writing instruction to the leader of that church. When he's writing to like Galatians, Ephesians, he's writing to the entire congregation, right? So here we see him writing to the pastor of the church, and he says this. He says, hey, Pastor Timothy, people who want to get rich, and he's not just talking about people who like are rich, because being rich isn't bad. Being rich is good. But in the CAV, Chris's Amplified Version, I would say it this way. People who want to get rich, who want to just hoard everything to themselves and keep it for themselves. People who love it more than they love anything else. They pursue it. Their life is all about climbing up the ladder. It doesn't matter who they step on or where they get to. As long as they have more and they never have to give anything away so that they can insulate themselves and build, you know, their little kingdom. And like people who want to do that, says they get messed up. Their lives get messed up. They fall into temptation and a trap. So here we see people chasing after wealth, chasing after everything the world has, trying to keep it to themselves, only thinking about them. How much can I make for me? Like, they're stuck. They're stuck. Like, I'm in this terrible hole. And there's no way out. There's no light at the end of the tunnel. And it says they fall into harmful and foolish desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. What a terrible place to be. My desire would be that none of us would be in that place, right? Because that does not sound like a good place to be. So here's Paul. He's writing to Timothy. He's saying, warn your people about this. Warn the people of the church about this. Because the love of money, this wrong relationship, this strong, intense desire to like, I got to have it. And if I don't have it, it's a problem. Like the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. So here we see it's not money is not bad. Money is good. Right? Dave Ramsey says money is fun if you have some. Yeah. Right? Money is fun if you have some. Money is good. Tell your neighbor, say money is fun. Come on. That's right. It is fun. It's just when we get out of whack with it. We get our priorities in the wrong order. That's where the problem becomes in. And what it does is it lets all kinds of evil in our lives. He goes on, he says, some people eager for money, like this whole mentality of going after that, have wandered from the faith. Are you serious? Like to add a zero on your bank account, people have actually walked away from their faith in God. I'm like, so crazy. He says, and then they pierce themselves with many griefs. Some of us have felt that way maybe in your past. You've gone through a difficult situation and you've felt pierced in your life. Some of us that feel that way now are full of grief and sorrow about situations. Maybe something that was in your control, maybe out of your control, but maybe it was some financial thing that happened in your life and it just was like, it felt like it wrecked you and you felt full of grief and sorrow. There's a story in the Bible, 1 Kings chapter 17, of a widow, and she's there making a little, you know, a bread, and the prophet Elijah comes up and he says, hey, before you make all that, can you make me one too, please? And she says, well, this is all I've got left. I'm going to eat it and die. Like, she must have had some grief in her life. Obviously, she did. Here she is, like, this is all she can see. Like, this is what I got. I'm going to eat it. We're going to die. It's terrible. It's terrible. Jesus summarized this whole idea this way. He said, for wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We've all heard that verse 1,000 times, but what is he saying? He's saying, whatever you're passionate about, whatever you think about the most, like, that's where your heart's going to be. Whatever you long for, like that's where it will be. It's really easy to tell what we're passionate about in life. What is our priorities, right? You can just look at your bank statement. It'll tell you right there. Some of us are more passionate about being at Starbucks every day than we are about being in the house of the Lord. If I don't have my Starbucks, coffee is life. And believe me, I love coffee. I'm not knocking on Starbucks. We proudly brew Starbucks coffee, and that's all great. But I'm just telling you, is when we get things out of order, it causes a problem. We have to be aware of those things, right? We have to be aware of those things because we sing the songs. God, I want more of you. God, I want you more than I want anything else. God, I love you. You're the priority of my life. And then, you know, it's like, it's 10:30. I'm not going to make it to church today. God, it's too early for me to get up and spend time with you this morning. I got to get to work and make my money, right? Like, But then we come here like, God, I want you more than anything else. Like, we've just got to realize, like, we've got to get some things in order in our lives sometimes. Because Jesus is like, hey, you want me to be first? Cool. Like, you got to begin to get, if you want me to be first in your life, I need you to get your thoughts more about me. I need you to get your time, like, pointed my direction. I need you to get all your stuff and get it all pointed my direction if you really want it to be about me. That's what he's saying. He's saying, because wherever your stuff is at, wherever your thoughts are at, wherever your desires and your passions are at, like, that's where your heart's going to go. So if he really has your heart, then it's going to be evidence. It just is. Come on. I love you guys. So we can look at all the wisdom of the world. There's lots of financial wisdom out there. There's podcasts, there's magazines, books, seminars, courses, all kinds of things you can go through. Those are good. I encourage you to make the most of those. In fact, we're going to be offering Financial Peace University in January. It's from Dave Ramsey. And if you're in debt or you're trying to get a better handle on your money, you need to be in that class. We're going to have it in January. We'll have more information for you on that. Those things are good. And what those things do, like if you go to a financial planner, you go to those things, we're going to give you a plan. If you're in debt, we can even pinpoint the day you'll be out of debt. If you stick to this financial plan, we know we can figure out the exact day that you'll be out of debt. It's great. It's good. Financial wisdom is good. But the problem is too often we just live by those numbers. We just go by the numbers and it's good. We need to know the numbers, right? Because if we were just to take the numbers, the financial numbers, and figure it out, like, and we work on those things, that will help us and we'll begin to experience some freedom in our lives. So let's look at those things. Let's look at a couple financial principles that are going to help us in our lives real quick. Let's go through these. If you're taking notes, I want you to write these things down. Principles of financial planning. Number one is we need to work on our earning. If you ain't got nothing to manage, there's nothing to manage. Right? Like, we need to work on increasing our earning. We need some money coming in. Like, we need earning coming in. I started working when I was 15 and a half. I worked at the baseball stadium cleaning up the day after the games. It was cool. I was a young kid and like it wasn't the most glamorous job. But I started working and now I like talk to kids now. I'm like, I'm 25 and I don't have a job. I just play video games. Listen, you need to get a job, baby. Okay. You need to get a job. That's the word of the Lord for somebody today. You need to get a job, baby. Come on, we need to work on some earning. We need some things coming in, right? Because it's hard to create margin if you ain't got nothing coming in, right? And let me just tell you what margin is, right? Margin is not just having more of something, okay? That's not what margin is. That's just having more of something, okay? Margin is uncommitted resources. So it doesn't matter the amount of resource that you have. It's how much do you not have to spend. That's margin, whether that's money, whether that's time, whether that's energy. We need to create margin in our lives. It's uncommitted resources. So if I have $100 and a margin would be $20 that I don't have to spend, that's not committed to anything, right? That's margin. I have margin in there, right? Earning is important, right? Here's the second one. Second financial principle is we got to talk about some spending. Oh, don't hang your head. It's all right. There's hope. There's hope. We got this. We got this. Spending. We got to look at our spending. We just got to be honest about it, right? Because the truth is that 32% of Americans don't have a budget. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. Don't be nudging your spouse right now. We've talked money before, and I've heard stories from like, you said the exact thing I said to my wife last night, and I was just telling her, see, even the past, don't be, just keep it right here, just locked in, just laser focus right here. Let me do all the work for you, okay? 32% of Americans don't have a budget. If you don't have a budget, you don't know where your money's going. And then you get to the end and you're like, I don't have enough to make it. Now I'm praying for a miracle. Jesus, deliver me from the, like, we need to get a budget, right? What a budget does for you, it does several things. But let me give you four things about a budget that are just misunderstandings about a budget, right? The first thing about a budget is every dollar gets a job. Every dollar gets a job. If you make $1,000, you have $1,000 coming in, every one of those $1,000 goes into a category. $100 goes into tithe category because we know as people who follow Jesus, we return the first 10% our tithe to God. After that, I'm going to put dollars in for my rent. I'm going to put dollars in for my food. I'm going to put, some of us put dollars in for Starbucks, and then I'm going to put dollars in for whatever else. But every dollar gets assigned somewhere. Every dollar gets a job. That's number one. Second thing is I need to embrace my real expenses. Some of us think we know what our expenses are. We think we know what we're spending money on, but what a budget did is going to illuminate those things real fast. Oh, I'm spending 50% of my income on the golf course. That's a problem, right? We need to embrace what our real expenses are so we can make adjustments. Here's the third one, is that with a budget, we need to roll with the punches. What I see so often when people start using a budget is they make it concrete. Listen, a budget needs to be flexible because life is not concrete. Anybody that's lived for 5 minutes, no, things are going to come your way. Like you're either in a storm, you just came out of one, and you're about to go into one. Like, so your budget needs to be able to roll with the punches. So if you get a flat tire, you don't have to freak out because I'm just going to take some money that was assigned to eating out and I'm going to move it into the car category and repair that tire, right? Like, but that's what budget, and that's okay. Budgets need to be flexible, right? And here's the fourth one is that we need to let our money get old. Right? That just means I don't want to pay Duke Energy on the money I just made this month. I don't want to pay this month's bills on the money I just made. I want to pay this month's bill on money I made last month. I don't want my money to get old, right? That's a goal. That's what a budget is going to do for us. Heather and I use one. We have an app that we use. It's called You Need a Budget. And yes, we needed a budget because this was us. We made some bad financial decisions. And we weren't budgeting, we were spending and not communicating. And we were pierced with many sorrows and many griefs. And it was not good. And it cost us, we lost so many things. And it was so bad. And we had to get on track. We had to learn these things. So that's why I'm so passionate about teaching them. So get a budget. I'll post on social media the one we use later this week if you're interested in that. So number, we're focusing on the numbers, right? The third one would be saving. We're just talking about numbers. We need to work on our income. We need to work on our spending, and we need to start saving. It's not just a financial principle. It's also biblical. Proverbs 21 verse 20 says, "The wise have wealth and luxury, but the fool spends everything he has." All right. We need to get some more wisdom in our lives. We need to start saving. Saving is important because a rainy day is coming. We're saving for a rainy day, right? Listen. The average American, I got some statistics for you guys today. So all my number people, you're going to love it today. Statistics show that the average American spends 136% of their income. It was exactly my response. Like, I'm sorry. Let's put that in perspective. So if you earn $1,000, that means you spend every one of those dollars plus another 360 you don't have. That Chase owns. Chase owns Visa, MasterCard. Okay. That's like, where does that extra come from? But we need to be saving and not just spending what we have. 70% of Americans don't even have $1,000 saved up. Okay? Like, we need to be saving, right? Because what's significant about that is that, because there's going to be a moment God's going to be like, "Hey, I want you to bless that person." And you'll be like, "God, I don't have anything to bless them with." We need to be saving, right? We need to be saving. Here's where it starts to get fun. The fourth one is this, is investing. Come on, now you got money that you're setting aside just for the purpose of letting it grow. I'm not working for money anymore. It's working for me. It's taking care of itself at night. It's growing while I'm sleeping. Now that's fun right there. Come on. Investing is good. Investing is good. In fact, I would say that don't get so focused on, well, I can only invest a small amount. Don't get so focused on the amount as much as the time. Time is your friend. So where are my young people at? Young adults, you need to pay special attention right here. I got some numbers for you, young adults. Like the average car payment in America, are you guys ready for this? $523 average car payment in America. Man. So here, what if we did this instead? What if we keep the old car? I know it stinks. I know it's got that little rattle and a little squeal when you go to stop. But listen, we can fix that up. We'll hook you up. We got some good smell, good spray we can spray in there. Like, it's going to be all right. What if instead of buying the car, we keep the old one and we take that $500 and we invest it every month, right? And we get an average return of about 12%, right? You start about 25. By the time you're 65, you're going to have over $1 million. Come on, I hope you like the car. Come on, I'm just saying. All right, let me put it to you this way. You take $5 a day, right? That's $150 a month. Listen, we can all find $150 in our budget, okay? We can all find it. If you go to Starbucks once or twice a week, you can find $150 right there. I'm just going to help you. $150 a month invested at 12% over time, over 5 years, that $150 a month turns into $12,000, $12,250. That's nice. 10 years, that same investment turns into $34,505. Right? At 20 years, now you've got $148,000. 30 years, you got 500,000. Come on, that's a lot of paper right there. 40 years, look at this, 1.7 mil. Come on, baby. And 50 years, you got 5.8. $150 investing it over time. Listen, time is your friend. We got to just begin investing. In fact, if you're around the age of 30, right, and you make combined income $48,000, right, and you invest 15%, that's $600 a month, right, over time, again, averaging about 12% income, by the time your retirement age, listen for this, and you're going to have $7 million. I'm just saying, investing is fun. You're talking about that, but like, let me go, let me sign up for that one, right? Investing is fun. We need to do that, right? If you're numbers only, it's important. For numbers only, here's the last one, giving. And depending on which numbers only person you talk to, this one may or may not be included, because it's like, well, if you've got some left over, now we can talk about charity. If you've got some at the end of all that, then maybe you can. If you need some help on your taxes, then we can do some giving at the end of the year. And praise God, we live in a country where even our giving is a benefit to us in that way. Come on, that is good right there. God bless America. I love it. I love it. I'm thankful for that. So what do? Our lives need to reflect charity at some point. But the statistics say that Americans give 2.1% of their income to charity. What about Christians? Oh, they've got to give more because they're the people of God. Studies show that Christians in America give 3.5% of our income to charity. Just saying. Those are the numbers. Those are for the numbers only people, you're like, that's my jam. That's it right there. And if we were just to end right there, let's pray. Like, that would be good and that would be helpful to us. If we would just work on those areas, like, we would begin to experience financial freedom in areas of our lives. But as people that follow Jesus, we know there's more at play than that. We have to realize, like, we have to get beyond the natural. Right? Because we serve a God who lives in the supernatural realm, in the unseen realm, right? If I was to take this microphone, right, and put a cloth over top of it, you wouldn't be able to see it anymore. Does that mean it's not real? Does that mean it doesn't exist? No, it just means you couldn't see it anymore. But the realness of it, the existence is still there. It's the same with the unseen, the spiritual realm. We live, we are a physical being, but our spirit is what the real us. And we live in the natural realm, but the unseen is happening around us all the time. We have to realize, as people who follow Jesus, there's more working than what we can see with these eyes, that there's the unseen, the supernatural happening around us all the time, and it's just as real as things that we see with our eyes, right? We have to realize that God's principles, could it be that we serve a God that has principles that the world can't understand? Yes. He said, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. That means you can try to do the math, but you're not going to understand it. So stop trying to understand it and trust me. Like, we need to become people who are more concerned about living fully dependent and trusting on God than just trying to make it all make sense and trying to explain it all away. Like, we got to be people who live with trust. So I want to go back through these numbers only principles and give us some of what God's higher principles would be that we see in Scripture, so that we can begin to live beyond just the natural, so that we can begin to walk in the supernatural, where God is actually desiring that his people would be, because it's in the supernatural that we're meant to be. You realize Jesus said, those that believe in my name, they'll cast out devils. That takes the supernatural, right? Right? We're going to lay our hands on the sick and they will recover. That's the supernatural. In our own, we can't heal people. It's the supernatural power of God working through us. And I love this verse that really highlights this process for us. I mentioned it a few weeks ago, and I challenged some people, like, go find it in Scripture. I hope you did. If you didn't, I'm going to give it to you today. It's in Haggai chapter 1. You're like, Haggai, that's in the Bible? That's in the Bible, baby. Haggai chapter 1, verse 5. It says this, now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. It's like, hey, pay attention to how you're living. Pay attention to where your money's going. Pay attention to where your time is going. Like, give careful thought to your ways. Don't live willy-nilly. Like, don't just do the numbers. Some of us have been doing the numbers in our finances. Some of us do the number in our time. Some of us do the numbers relationally, and that's why we can't forgive, because it doesn't add up. You don't know what they did to me. You don't know what they said about me. Like, the numbers always add up a certain way, but God has called us beyond that. He's called us to be people of forgiveness. He says, you've planted much, but you harvest little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, and you never have your fill. You put on clothes, but you're not warm. Something is wrong. Something's missing. It's not working right. And you got to love the next line. He says, you earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. Some of us, you're like, that's my life verse right there. Like, that, I identify with that because I feel like I make money and I put it in my pocket and like, where to go? And isn't that the mantra the world tells us? Hard come, easy go. That's not for us, not for the people of God. Again, if that has been something you say, I'm challenging you today. You got to get that out of your vocabulary. You got to begin to adopt the vocabulary of heaven. It says, I always have enough. I have abundance for every good work. Come on, somebody. He says, so this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Again, as if we didn't hear him the first time, he reminds us, give careful thought to your ways. So God wants us to realize there's something happening beyond just what we can see. So what are these? What are these things? I want to give us a few of these principles so we can begin to embrace them in our lives. Right? The first financial numbers only principle was earning, right? We got to earn more. We got to earn more. Increase our earning. Here's the higher principle is this, is calling versus compensation. Calling versus compensation, right? I've seen people in my life where they'll be planted in a church. This is where God has called us to be. I know we're supposed to be here. And then a few months later, they're like, hey, we're moving out of state. I got this job and they're going to pay me all this money. So we're just going. We're going. And what do? They uproot their family. They uproot their spiritual lives out of the church and move somewhere. And you talk to them a few months later and you know what? Their life is a mess. You know, they lost their kids. Their kids don't want to be in church anymore. I'm like, listen, because you were called to be in a place and you begin chasing earning and you begin chasing all these other things instead, it's no wonder scripture tells us, it makes it obvious, hey, if you live that way, you're going to be pierced with griefs, you're going to fall into a trap. It's a deceptive trap. And I'm not saying like we need to be make sure like the numbers are there, like we need to make sure the numbers are there, but it's just not my pursuit. My pursuit is my calling. Right? Your calling is this thing that God created you to do that no one else can do, right? And it's different than the gifts that you have, because the gifts you have, like the natural ability to just do things. My wife like has the gift of mercy, and she just naturally is like full of mercy to things. And I'm like, I'm going to have mercy right now. I got to work on it. Like, I'll show you mercy right after, you know. Some of you are like, amen, brother. but she's just naturally merciful. And so, you know, but that's how she's gifted. But you can have the gifts of God inside of you and be using them even and not be fulfilling your calling. They're different things. Right? Your calling is this moment when God calls you and he says, hey, I know you've been doing this, but I'm calling you to do this. I've got an assignment for you to do. And that's the greatest realization that we can figure out is, God, what is it that you've called me to do? Like, ring, ring, who is it? Hello, this is God calling. I've got a job for you. You're not an accountant. I'll put you there. Like, I'll put you in this place. Like, you're undercover. I've called you to be. Like, that's why he, come on, I'm going to start preaching. Listen, we need to become a people who begin, we chase our calling. We don't start chasing everything else, start chasing all the wealth of this world. At the same time, I believe that the church, as Christian business leaders, as the church, like we should be the ones to lead the way in generosity to those that work for us, right? It shouldn't be that the brightest and the best in the church have to go and work in the world to make it or to, you know, pay their bills. Like, we should be the ones leading the way, right? But we're not chasing that. I'm chasing my calling. Right? Calling supersedes that, supersedes it. So if you don't know what your calling is and you're like, I need that. Like, I encourage you right after service today, get with my man Hector. He was up here. You guys saw him, and get in our next steps process. That's what it's all about. So we are passionate about helping people discover, God, what is it that you've called me to do that no one else can do? It's a thing that when you do it, you're like, God, I can do this all day because you're making a difference in the life of somebody else. That's how you can begin to identify what that calling is, because you can do things that you're gifted in and it doesn't do anything for anybody else. It just makes you feel good. See what I did? I won that trophy because I'm gifted this way. But when you step into calling, all of a sudden, you're using your gifts. You're doing these things, and it's natural to you, but it's influencing the life of somebody else. It's making a difference in them. You're like, it has nothing to do with what I did. God, what did you do in this person? Come on, that's how you can start to recognize what your calling is. We want to be on that journey with you. You can join that today, next steps. Just give me three Sundays. Three Sundays, we're going to get you on that path. It's going to be awesome. Listen. We don't need more money. We need something to live for. We don't need more money. We just need something to live for. So let's begin to discover what our calling is. Here's the second area. Here's the second area. Numbers only with spending. We got to get a hold of our spending, right? We got to make sure. But there's the higher principle would be this. And this one, man, this one is powerful. It's contentment versus consumerism. Contentment versus consumerism. Our society is like, I want more, I want more, I want more, and I want it now, right? Give it to me now, and if I can't have it now, then give me a credit card, and I'll let them pay for it so I can have it now, right? I'm just telling you, it's just going to get you in trouble. It's just going to lead us into trouble. Jesus said this. He said, Luke 12:15, he said, watch out, be careful. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, like not just financial, but all kinds of greed, because life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. So like your life, it doesn't matter how much you can accumulate, how many achievements you can earn. Like that's what life is about. Life is about how much of an impact you can make in the life of somebody else. That's where life is found. That's what it is. And you want to experience real peace in your life? It's found in contentment. Contentment with whatever you had. Paul says it this way. He says, Philippians chapter 4, verse 12. He says, I know what it is to be in need. And all of us do. We all do. And he said, I know what it is to have plenty. And we all do. We're all blessed. We have it way better than most. But he said, I've learned the secret of being content. There's a secret to being content. Yeah, there's a secret. He said, I had to learn it. It didn't come naturally. It's something I had to learn. I had to allow God to teach me contentment so that in every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living plenty or in want, I can be content. So it doesn't matter if I have the iPhone XR Max or if I've got a flip phone still or I got no phone. Like, it doesn't matter what I have or I don't have. Like, we can be content. That's why, can I just, parents, give you some freedom? You don't have to outdo last Christmas. Don't go into debt to pay for gifts that aren't going to last as long as the debt will. We just need to get our hearts put in a place where we can just be content, where we can say, God, if you never do anything else for me, you've done so much. You've already done enough for me. Like, what if we begin to posture ourselves that way? Let's be content with God and who he is. And because, I mean, we're just blessed, right? If you make combined household income of $10,000 or more, you are more rich than 84% of the world. If you make combined household income of $50,000 or more, you are more rich than 99% of the world. Like, I don't feel rich, but like, we are blessed. We are blessed. Contentment is not the fulfillment of what we want, but contentment is a realization of how much we have already. Like, I have enough. I have what I need. Third one, the third number principle is save, right? It's a biblical principle, by the way. Proverbs 13 says, a wise person leaves an inheritance to their children's children. That's your grandchildren, in case you're trying to do the math. That's your grandchildren. Like, we need to save because rainy days are coming. It's coming. We need to save. We need to be ready for those moments when God moves on our heart and he says, hey, this is the way my spirit's going. I want you to do this thing right now. Like, okay, I can do it because I've saved. I have some margin. But the problem that we have sometimes with, and I would just urge you, like, just this moment of, like, be on alert. Be look out for this attitude because it's so subtle and it just kind of slips in, is that when we have some savings, we can enter into this dangerous place, right? Because if you have not had money before, and then all of a sudden you start like, now I'm doing better and I got a little bit of savings, and then you get in this place, what can happen is so easily we begin to look at it as like, instead of keeping our heart in this place, God, I need you every day. God, if you don't show up today, I'm not going to have any food to eat. I don't know how I'm going to keep the lights on. God, I'm dependent upon you. And all of a sudden, now we have some savings. And what can happen is, like, something comes along, comes our way. And instead of saying, God, I need you right now, we say, God, don't worry. I can handle it. I don't need you for this, God. I can take care of it. We've just got to be alert. We've got to be on the lookout for that attitude because it will creep in if we're not careful. We've got to be on alert. So here's the higher principle, and this is, I need to be God-dependent, not independent. Right? I need to be God-dependent, not independent. It's good to have savings, but it's not the source of my security, as if having savings can insulate us from all of life's problems, right? But listen to me. Please listen to me. Savings are good. Don't go home and clear out your savings account. Like, you need a savings account. It's good. We need savings. Okay, everybody heard me say it. Just got to make sure we get that out there. It's just that our security's not in that. my security's in God, right? Proverbs 18, it says, the wealth of the rich is their fortified city. They imagine it a wall too high to scale. Like the people who have that wrong association with money, they kept it all in for themselves. They have a desire for it. They think that it's going to keep all of life's problems away from them, that nothing is going to be able to touch them because it's a fortified wall around them. And it's just not true. Our hope is in God all day long. God, I need you every day. God, I need you at work today because there's that person and they're saying all those things. They're spreading those rumors about me. God, I need you in my life so that I can show love today. God, I need you in my finances today. It doesn't matter how good I get, how many promotions I got, how much I got in the bank. God, I need you today so I can be wise with what you've given me, so I can leave an inheritance to my children's children. Like, we need God in every moment. And if it's daily, like, that's the place we need to be. Like, just daily, we need to be with the Lord. We need to be with the Lord. It's contentment. Here's the fourth one. The numbers only principle was investing, right? Investing is good. It's fun. We know we can build that up and have money in the bank. I invest. I hope you invest. But the higher principle at play here is this, is stewardship versus ownership. Stewardship versus ownership. And this is where, you know, like, people get squirmy in church. And pastor's talking about money, talking about stewardship and ownership. Listen, we just have to realize what is happening in investing, right? If you have $1,000 and you take it to an investment firm and you say, I want you to invest it this way and this way, they're going to take that money and invest it according to your priorities, right? Because it's your money that you gave them, right? And if they did not invest it according to your priorities and how you instruct them, you're like, give me that money back. I'm going to go find somebody else who can invest it according to my priorities, right? So let me just give you some freedom in this statement, okay? God is the owner. We are the managers. Just say that again. God is the owner. We are the managers. A manager is a steward, right? A steward and a manager, like, what a manager does is he takes care of things at the priorities of the owner. At the priorities of the owner. That's what a steward does. I look after things because of how I've been instructed by the owner of it. And some of us wonder why we're not more blessed. God, why am I struggling? Could it be that we're not experiencing more of God's blessing, more of his favor? More, you know, like, could it be that it's just we've been investing what he's given us according to our own priorities instead of his? We are the manager. He is the owner. So what if we just began to just say, God, help me to leverage whatever it is you've given me. So that God, give me what I need to eat today. Give me what I need, but can I eat with somebody who doesn't know you? Help me to leverage, even when we have the margin. God, help me to leverage this margin. What would you have me? How would you have me to invest what I have? Because he's the owner of it all. We're the managers. So it's up to us then to find out how he wants us to invest it. Come on, somebody. It's so important. It's so important. Jesus said it this way, Matthew 6:19. He said, don't store up for yourself treasures on earth. Like, don't let your only place you invest is here on earth. Why? Because it won't last. Moth and rust are going to destroy it. Thieves can break in and steal. But instead, I have something better for you. Store up for yourself treasures in heaven where moth and rust don't destroy, where thieves can't break in and steal. My pastor growing up always said, you can't take it with you when you leave the earth, right? But you can send it on ahead. How do I do that? How do we send it on ahead? I'm so glad you asked. Let me tell you. It leads us to this last principle, the one that some people don't like to talk about, and that's giving. Right? If you talk to financial planners, they may or may not mention that, but giving is so important, right? Because opposite of giving is a miser. Opposite of generosity is miser, right? We know the story of the Christmas Carol movie, you know, with Scrooge, and even calls him that. The world even knows this principle. But I believe that God's principle is this, is generosity versus misery. Listen. The happiest people I know are the most generous people I know. It's just true. And the most depressed, the most worried, are the most stingiest people I know. Right? Because people that don't have a lot of money, they know their money can't do anything for them. So it's easy to be generous. People think if I have more money, then I can be more generous. It just doesn't happen that way. Studies show the more that we earn, the actual less that we give. Let it not be said about us. People are going to say something about us as people who follow Jesus, and people are saying stuff. People are talking about the church. I'm not just talking about us as this church, but people are talking about the church, but even this church right here. If people are going to say something, let it not be about our style of music. Let it not be about our theology, and I can agree with that or I can't agree with that. Let it not be because of our lights and because of how cool of a building we have. And all those things are good, and I hope we have those things one day. But you have to realize, like, it doesn't matter how good our light show is or how great the band is, because we can try to outworld the world, but they're going to outworld us every time. We're not trying to outworld them. If they're going to say something about us, let it be said, like, I don't know about that thing that that pastor said, but everywhere that church goes, they're helping the poor. They're helping the needy. They're just being generous everywhere they go. If somebody's going to say something about our lives, let it be said that the only thing they can find to say, man, they're just generous. They just gave all these turkeys away. They gave all these gifts away. They gave, you know, they have this dream center. They're just helping people everywhere they go. Like, let it be said of that. Generosity versus misery. And it is misery when you live the other way. Anybody that you ever have, you know it's true. It's just like, it's true. John Bunyan, he's the author of The Pilgrim's Progress. He had this quote. He said this. He said, "You've not lived today until you've done something for someone who can't repay you." It's just so true. It's just so true that life is really just found. Like, you won't even really find what life is all about until you begin to impact somebody else. Let me show you in scripture so you believe me. This is just a continuation of the Apostle Paul writing to Pastor Timothy on how to instruct his church. And he uses this word, and it's a strong word. He says, command them to do good. It's like, he said, command your church to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. Strong language. And what happens when we do? We know, like, Pastor, I know when I give, I'm blessed, and people are helped and all that. And that's true, and that's good. But listen to what he actually says happens, right? Right, he says, in this way, we'll lay up treasures for ourselves as a firm foundation in the coming age. Yo, that's heaven he's talking about. You can't take it with you. You want to send it on ahead? That's how. Right there. That's how. When we begin to live generous, when we become rich in good deeds, when we become rich in what matters most, when we begin to be willing to share, like, we're going to lay up treasures for ourselves in heaven for when we get there. Come on. So, and if that wasn't enough, he goes on and he says, and then when you live that way, you not only have treasures in heaven, but you'll take hold of life that's truly life. Like, you can live your life and not really experience true life is what he's saying. You're not going to experience what your life is all about until you begin to live this generous life. And it's just fun. It's just fun. That's one of the reasons I love, you know, in December we take the Hope Truck out and we give gifts away to all, you know, boys and girls and families, ones who probably aren't going to get too much. And I remember a couple years ago we were doing that. We had a bunch of gifts we had taken to some kids. And I sat down with this one little boy who was kind of just sitting off on the side. And he's about 10 or so, and I walked over, and I was like, I was all excited, you know, and I was like, hey, what'd you ask for Christmas? And he's like, I asked him again, hey, what'd you ask for Christmas there, bud? It doesn't matter. I'm not going to get it anyways. It's like, what did I just walk into? You know, right? This is the thoughts in my head. And so I just began to ask him again, and he kind of got the same answer. So I just kept asking him, talking to him, and finally he said, well, I guess if I would get anything, I want my dad to be home. Jesus, what do I say now? I said, where's your dad, bud? He's in jail. It's like, I'm sure mom's working hard. No, she's out with her friends. So here I am with this kid, just trying to talk to him. All of his friends are running around, opening gifts, playing with theirs, and he's just sitting there, just hopeless. And so I just asked him again, like, trying to just get him to cheer up, and just finally got him to finally say what he wanted. I guess I would want a remote control helicopter. So it was like, I wrapped all those gifts. I don't remember seeing a remote control helicopter. Jesus, it's your time. Just make it appear. Maybe it's like Ant-Man and it's just going to, like, be there. So it's like, let's go get a gift. So I walk over to the table, and I got the biggest one I could find, just hoping, and I'm praying. I'm interceding. Jesus, turn this package into a helicopter. You turned water into wine. You can turn this into a helicopter. Please, Jesus. So I gave it to him, and he's like, thanks. And so he walks back over to his seat, and he starts opening it. I can't see what's in there. I'm a little scared to see what's in there. And he starts opening it. All of a sudden, his eyes get real big. And he'd just been kind of like opening it. And all of a sudden, he starts ripping that thing off. And do you... Do you know what was in that box? It was a helicopter. I'm just saying, it's fun. It's fun to be generous. I'll do that all day long. And just to see, like, in that moment, just everything in him changed. And the light in his eyes, hope was back. Because someone in this church bought him a remote control helicopter. Let's be known by that. Not a whole lot greater we could do in our lives. We can earn more money. Just doesn't really matter that much. So why don't we just take a moment here together and just pray together. And just begin to let God speak to you. Just ask him, God, where do you want me to invest? God, what do you have for me in this? That's why I always say, like, don't look to some person to tell you have to give this amount or this amount. You realize, like, when we give to God, it's never about, well, you didn't give as much as that person in the dollar amount. It's the story of the poor widow woman who put two coins in, and everyone else is pouring bags and bags of gold in, and Jesus said she gave more than all the rest of them. So just ask him, say, God, what do you have for me? And do what he says. Don't feel pressured or anything like that, but just always look for ways to be generous. Maybe it's with your time. Maybe God's been speaking to some of you here, like you realize that you haven't been generous with your time. You're like, I can give an hour and a half on a Saturday to get on the Hope Truck. I can give an hour on a Sunday to serve in the kids area. Man, they need adults in that kids leader. They need men, dads, who can show up and be a dad to a fatherless generation. Maybe you're the one you've been feeling hopeless with your finances. You're like, there's no way out for me. Today, God is breathing hope into you. He's here to breathe hope into your life. Wherever you find yourself on that, I just want to pray with you this morning. Maybe you're here too, and you're just far from God. You feel like God is mad at you. You feel like he's just so far away, like he could never love you. And today, you're realizing that's not who God is, that God is actually so generous. Like, he wants you to experience generosity from him before you ever give it to somebody else, because that's who he is. Like, he's so generous. Like, he gave the best of what he had so that he could be close to you, because he loves you so much. And today you're like, I need that in my life. So wherever you are in any of those, you're saying, that's me, Pastor. Will you pray for me? Just right where you are in your seat, would you just lift up your hand? I want to pray with each and every person this morning. Thank you right over here and over here. Hands all over this morning. Thank you.